From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Tuesday, September 30th. Coming up, Central Illinois Republican Congressman Darren LaHood weighs in on Charlie Kirk's debates and the looming government shutdown. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. Dry weather and low rainfall continue to affect central Illinois. IPM Student Newsroom's Diana Jung reports the drought conditions have hurt crop yields for some farmers.
It's a busy time for Kyle Dusman. He owns a combine and gets hired by landowners to help out with harvest. On this day in late September, he's harvesting soybean in Champaign County. He says the dry weather caused yields to take a hit.
There are spots where the drought is not as bad. People got a rain that made a big difference. But for the most part, all of the area farmers have suffered some losses due to the drought.
Dusman says supply and demand has caused crop prices to stay low this year, while recent tariff made fertilizer prices spike to near record highs. He says many farmers will have losses, but crop insurance should help make up for the drops in their revenue. I'm Diana Zhang, IPM News.
Congress is fast approaching a government shutdown due to a disagreement over health care costs. A shutdown will take effect early Wednesday morning unless Democrats join Republicans in voting for a temporary funding bill. Democratic Senator Dick Durbin said in a visit to Champaign he's willing to vote for a compromise bill if it's done in a thoughtful way.
Some of these families are going to face a $100 to $1,000 a month increase in their health insurance. Some of them will not be able to pay for that, and it means that they'll drop it. Some 15 million Americans are going to lose their health insurance because of this. We ought to address it. Don't wait until that crisis hits a family. Do something to help them.
Democrats want to extend subsidies for the Affordable Care Act subsidies instead of letting them lapse in December. Republicans say that decision can wait. About 24 million low- and middle-income people would be affected if the subsidies expire. The health nonprofit KFF says insurance premiums could more than double. A near-century-old church building in Champaign is set to be demolished under a deal worth more than $4.1 million. But an application to name University Place Christian Church as a local landmark could put those plans on hold. IPM Student Newsroom's Anna Koh has more.
Fairlawn Real Estate is scheduled to take possession of the property at Wright and Springfield Streets on November 1st. They plan to demolish the building and redevelop the site as apartments. In March, the church's board voted unanimously to sell the property. Church trustee Eric Freifogel cited maintenance costs and declining church membership. Leslie Baker grew up in the church. She submitted the application for local landmark designation to the city of Champaign.
I can understand if they sold it, but I will never understand why they agreed to sell it to a developer who knew they would tear it down. I'm still in disbelief that they agreed to this.
The city's plan commission is scheduled to meet tomorrow to consider Baker's request. A final decision rests with the city council, which meets October 7th. I'm Anna Koh, IPM News.
Infectious disease experts want the CDC to label Chagas disease as endemic to improve surveillance and research. In Illinois, no human cases of the parasitic illness have been reported. But IPM Student Newsroom's Stephanie Oriana reports some worry climate change could promote spread.
Chagas disease is spread by kissing bugs, which are mostly found in Latin America and the southern U.S. Right now, the disease is not a huge public health concern in Illinois, says Christopher Dietrich. He's an entomologist at the Illinois Natural History Survey. But he says rising temperatures could cause kissing bugs to become an issue in the future.
You know, with climate change, there could be some risk that they spread farther north. So, unfortunately, there's nobody out there that actually is monitoring these in any systematic way. So we don't really have any good idea of whether that's happening or to what extent.
CU Public Health says it supports efforts to increase awareness about Chagas disease. I'm Stephanie Oriana, IPM News.
Still to come, Central Illinois Republican Congressman Darren LaHood weighs in on Charlie Kirk's debates and the looming government shutdown. That story is coming up next on 217 Today, but first, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your forecast.
I'm meteorologist Andrew Pritchard with your IPM News forecast for Champaign-Urbana. Today, look for sunny skies with a high of 90 degrees and a northeast wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 55 degrees, a northeast wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high of 87 degrees, an east wind 5 miles per hour. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low of 57 degrees, an east wind 5 miles per hour. And for Thursday, mostly sunny with a high of 86 degrees and a southeast wind 5 miles per hour.
Next time on the 21st Show, as the Trump administration cuts healthcare funding, pares back vaccine recommendations, and launches an attack on Tylenol, we'll find out how Illinois is responding from the state's Director of Public Health. Plus, the growing threat from ticks in the Prairie State. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. The assassination of Charlie Kirk has sparked a debate about free speech in the U.S., especially on college campuses, where Kirk spent much of his time debating the issues. There also where some professors were targeted by Kirk's organization for taking stances Turning Point found objectionable. Central Illinois Republican Congressman Darren LaHood tells Lauren Wernicke he supports a robust dialogue on politics and government.
Listen, I think Charlie Kirk encapsulated what it means to have engagement, to have substantive talk. Obviously, he was a conservative, a Republican, but I think Charlie didn't stand for violence. Charlie stood for engagement, having substantive conversation, having dialogue, having both sides have an argument, but to do that in a civil way. That's what he stood for. And he really, I think, with his enthusiasm and his optimism, he promoted that and encouraged young people to be engaged and be active. And I think we've seen that both on ISU's campus here. And I think after his tragic death and gruesome death, I think people are now mobilized to want to be engaged in the debate of politics. And I think you're going to continue to see that between now and into the future, and particularly next year's election.
There has been some counter discussion about some of Turning Point USA's tactics, particularly around the watch list of professors who were alleged to be espousing progressive or democratic views in the classroom or somehow suppressing conservative students. Three professors at ISU have been on that list at one point. One said that they were fearful enough that ISU police got involved. So can you kind of circle that square for us in regard to your comments on Charlie's platform around really championing free speech?
Well, violence should never be part of a civil conversation related to politics and government and issues of the day. And we have a responsibility as elected officials. The media has a responsibility to tone down the rhetoric related to violence or any type of harm. Again, Charlie stood for engagement. And so no one should be advocating for anything related to violence. I'm not familiar with the watch list and how that works, but what Charlie Kirk and Turning Point has stood for in all of my interactions around them is for civil, substantive engagement on core issues. And I think that's what made Charlie so successful.
Got a little bit of a deadline coming up in Washington. October 1st is looming the potential for a shutdown if a budget doesn't get passed. Democrats are kind of split on whether or not they're supportive of digging in their heels and forcing a shutdown. How do you feel about the ability of Congress to get this done?
Well, we have an obligation and responsibility to make sure the government does not shut down. Last Friday, I voted to keep the government open. Of course, the House passed the continuing resolution to fund the government through November 20th for another 7 weeks. That bill that I supported, and by the way, we had a Democrat that supported that also, so it was bipartisan, that is currently sitting in the Senate. Democrats in the past have supported lots of continuing resolutions. They're not now, supposedly. So what I would say is Chuck Schumer and the Democrats should support that CR. The government will remain funded. We can't allow the government to shut down next Wednesday, October 1st. So I remain hopeful that will happen.
Are you and your colleagues willing to budge in order to make sure it does?
Well, I would argue that a clean CR with nothing added to it is a compromise. That's what Democrats have always supported, is a clean CR. That's what they've always asked for. They don't like the fact that Republicans control the House and Senate in the White House now, but let's come together. Let's pass a CR for another 7 weeks. Try to work together in the appropriations process. I think that will avoid a shutdown.
The Trump administration has floated the idea of possibly trimming some federal jobs. What do you make of those job reductions and the administration's ability to make sure the government runs efficiently and effectively while still cutting the fat, so to speak?
Well, shutdowns are never good. They're never good for our economy, never good for our government. They're never good for the functions that we have a core obligation to be engaged with. But, We are $37 trillion in debt in this country. And so with government, we ought to be looking, how do we make things more effective, more efficient, more accountable in that space? And again, I hope we don't have a shutdown. I hope this continuing resolution passes. But if in fact that happens, I think they have the discretion and the ability to manage government. But I think you got to be careful about going too far to threaten core functions of our government and protecting the safety of our citizens.
A couple more questions, Congressman. In the rescission bill, USAID money was rolled in with money for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. That bill ultimately passed and yanked funding for both of those efforts. Now it looks like there is some enthusiasm for restoring some USAID money for what the administration has described as America First goals. How do you define that, and are you supportive of it?
Well, I think we have to be engaged in the world. Our soft power is important, and USAID played a key role in doing that. Now, not all of that money, I think, was being spent in the appropriate way, and so I think there had to be some rescissions there. However, what Secretary Rubio has said is there will be a reconstitution of some of those funds that will be focused on the foreign policy agenda of the United States. And so I think using that money to pursue the goals of the Trump administration and for America on supporting our allies around the globe, pushing back against the Communist Chinese Party, pushing back against Iran and some of our adversaries around the world, I think that in a more targeted, strategic way is good public policy.
Last question for you. The HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., has recently been putting out some information about changing the vaccine schedule potentially. Doctors have disagreed with this. They've also disagreed with President Trump's statements regarding caution around use of Tylenol for pregnant or expectant mothers, suggesting that acetaminophen Tylenol has a link, potential link to autism. What do you make of the dissonance between what doctors are saying and what the administration is saying, and how do practitioners sort of square the potential for misinformation coming out of the administration?
Well, I have concern about disinformation and misinformation, and I mean, I don't think we have enough evidence to reach some of the conclusions that have been reached. And so I'm cautious on some of the things that have come from the HHS secretary. And I think what I would tell people is rely on evidence and facts that are based on science that, you know, have been proven to be successful.
That was Central Illinois Congressman Darren LaHood. He spoke with Lauren Wernicke. That's it for today. 2 and 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Oriana. Reporting today contributed by Diana Jung, Emily Hayes, Anna Koh, Stephanie Oriana, and Lauren Wernicke. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hartwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 and 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.